नमो ओम विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण प्रस्ताय भूदले श्रीमती भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी नामिने नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशधारिणे श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे सो yesterday we were discussing this verse, that is number 20. Listen, we just started that verse. Na jayate mriyate va kadachil nayam bhutva bhavito vana bhuya ajo nityam shashvadoyam puranam na hanyade hanyamane sharire. Na jayate mriyate va kadachil nayam bhutva bhavita vana bhuya अजो नित्य शाश्वतोयं पुराणो न हन्यते हन्यमाने शरीरे. दिस वर्स इज एक्चुअली फ्रॉम कठोपनिषद. यू कैन सी प्रभुपाद मेंशन्स दैट लिटिल लेटर इन द पर्पोर्ट. इन द कठोपनिषद आल्सो वी फाइंड अ सिमिलर पैसेज विच रीड्स न जायते म्रियते वा विपश्चिल नायं कुतश्चिल न विभुव कश्चिल अजो नित्यं नित्य शाश्वतोयं पुराणो Nahanyade hanyamane sharire. So, with a very slight changes in the wordings, the meaning is exactly the same what has come to Bhagavad Gita. So, you can see the connection with Bhagavad Gita and Kathopanishad there also, in the same way that the important thing to hear, understand from this verse is that Na jayate, who, for whom this na jayate, who does not take birth? That only if you refer that to the soul, this applies. Body takes birth, but the soul doesn't take birth. And soul's nature is eternal, blissful, full of knowledge, sachit and anandam, isn't it? That therefore, one who has found out that the nature of the soul is sat, chit and anandam, or sachit anandam, he knows very well that he will not experience these things called birth and death, which is only for the body. In other words, a self-realized soul does understand that birth and death are only for the body, nothing else. And he does not even know that it is happening to the body. To such an extent, he is disconnected with the body. So, in that situation, he will not even know that when the body is taking birth, he will not know that I have taken birth. He does not experience the birth when the body is taking birth. Similarly, when the body is leaving him also, he does not experience that the body is leaving him. Nor, when the body is changing all the time, he does not experience the changes in himself. That is self-realization means. Self-realization means that once we identify with the soul and we have come to that Atmaramascha Munayo, Bhagavadam says, isn't it? Atmarama. Atmarama means one who is rejoicing in the soul. One whose identity has moved away or shifted its attention. Attention is not anymore in the body. It's completely on the soul. So once he has reached that state, Nargrandha Abhi Urukrame Kurvandi Ahaitukim Bhaktim Ittham Bhudaguno Hari in the Bhagavadam. So, Krishna says the same thing here, that the first thing of this experience is that when one realizes within his own body, is that he will not know that he is aging, the body is aging. The aging nature of the body is not experienced by him. Then you can imagine what will happen about the death. If one is not experiencing the old age, what possibility is there to know about the death? He will not even know that he has come to the old age, nor death is going to happen to him. Of course, this is a very, very high stage of realization within oneself. And that means only you can understand that when you come to that realization. That is why Srimad Bhagavatam is giving that example of Parikshit Maharaj himself, what's happened to him. So, when we are in the bodily concept of life, we are always conscious of the body, and we will be constantly looking at the body, isn't it? Has they started going grey, or the teeth, has it started shaking, or how many of them fallen off? And also we look at the skin, if the skin is changing its freshness, it becomes more and more affected by that. So everything, that awareness is not on the soul now, awareness is on the body. So when the awareness is on the body, the whole constant concentration will be in relationship with the body. But once this attention has shifted to Spurti, Spurti means Aham Brahmasmi, that understanding of the soul, and our attention moved away onto that, then we will know that this body has not even born. Body has not even born. Then there was this great sannyasi from, of course he's from Lahore, but it was prior to partition. Ramatirtham, he says like this: nobody in the world can ever convince that Rama, nobody can even convince Rama that he was ever born. To such an extent he was a realized soul. He says there, nobody in the world can ever convince Rama that he was ever born. To such a personality he was, that he could not ever accept that there was a thing called body around him. So disconnected from the body. When our attention goes on to our true nature, that is the spirit soul, then where is the question of birth and death? Na jayade mriyade va kadachil nayam bhutva bhaido vanabhuya. So if you look into Srimad Bhagavatam, what do you find there? For 7 days Sukadeva Goswami was talking to Parikshit constantly, isn't it? Continuously he was talking to him. And he kept on telling him, the soul never dies and the soul never takes birth. At the last minute, at the end of the Bhagavatam, when Sukadeva Goswami decided to leave after talking to Parikshit for 7 days, Srimad Bhagavatam, what did he say to him? He says to him, Tvam durajanmarishyedi pashubuddhim imam jahi. If you look into the 12th canto, you will find there, Tvam durajanmarishyedi pashubuddhim imam jahi na jadaha pragabodhodhya dehavatvam nanankshasi. He says here, my dear king, Tonturajan, please give up this idea that you are going to die. You are going to die. Because you do not understand the, because the thought that comes to anyone that he is going to die is coming from this understanding. What was that? He does not understand the difference between the body and the soul. Unable to discriminate between the body and the soul. You never dies. Because what never exists the same, Nasade Vidyadeya Bahavo, come back here. Krishna, the Sukadeva Goswami says exactly what Krishna is saying in the Bhagavad Gita. He says, why this fear of death has come? Because body was something which was born. It wasn't existing all the time, wasn't it? Na asade vidyade bhavo. Na asade vidyade bhavo. Na bhavo vidyade sada. The truth is that body was born at some time. In other words, it is asat. Something which was born any time, it is asat. So in the same way, Krishna says here, Sukadeva Goswami says here, anything what has come into existence, which has come into existence, that will die. There is no question. But the soul doesn't have that. Soul is always existing. So there is no question of death for that. So body has come up like that, and therefore the body will die. But you were there prior to this body was born. Therefore, you have to know that with the death of this body, you don't die. That is the Sukadeva Goswami's logic. Tum durajan marishyedi Pashabuddhimimam jahi na jadaha. You are not born. Pragabodhya dehavatvam nanankshasi. Then pragabodhya. Pragabodha means you have not existed, the body has not existed before, and therefore you are not born either. So, from the Vedanta philosophy, Krishna is saying one thing, that na jayate mriyate. It has no birth, it has no death. It has no birth, it has no death. For who? The soul. Everything is spoken in respect to the soul, not to the body. Because, as we discussed yesterday, that the whole problem we have is, we are trying to find perfection through the body. And perfection, Krishna says, through the body is not possible. It's only possible in relationship with the soul. And he says, you give up this effort to find perfection in the body. Krishna has very categorically stated that from the very beginning. That's why that verse is so powerful. Which verse? The verse which says there that Nasate vidhyade bhavo na bhavo vidhyade sada ubhayo rabhi drishtvandam stanayo tattvadarshivi. Tattvadarshis have found out this truth. What is that? Nasado vidyade bhavam. Asat has no bhavam. Na bhavo vidyade sadam. That sat has no abhavam either. Once we got this point clear in our mind, then you can immediately understand what Sudeva Goswami is saying to Parikshit. Sudeva Goswami is also saying to Parikshit the same thing. Our sages, great personalities, mahatmas, rishis, they have no intention to mislead us. They only want our, they are our good wishes, well wishes. They want us to understand this truth and live on this platform, rather than completely, this is our misery for life in this world, that we have deviated or we have not put our faith in the words of the sages. So he says here, na sado vidyade bhavo, na bhavo vidyade sada, ubhayo ravidrishtvandam, stanayor tattvadarshibhi. Tattvadarshis have found out this truth long ago, Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. And same thing, Sudeva Goswami is also saying here, Tundura janmarishyedi pashabuddhimimam jahi na jadaha pragabodhya dehavatvam nanankshasi. Dehavatvam nanankshasi. That dehavat means less like the body, it is not going to nanankshasi, never dies, that thing inside. So, the same meaning what Krishna is saying in Bhagavad Gita, Sudeva Goswami is repeating that to Parikshit. Only thing the words have changed. Because Parikshit was going to, body was going to go, he wanted to remind Parikshit again this truth. Same thing. My dear king, please give up this understanding. Krishna, Sudeva Goswami calls it as Pashubuddhi. Pashubuddhi means animal's brain. Animal's brain. Animals are not supposed to have any brain. One who identifies with the body, he is considered to be an animal from the Shastram. Because animal doesn't know anything about the soul, isn't it? He has no idea. He only thinks he is the body. And in order to keep this body going, animal whole day is looking for food and place to sleep, eating, sleeping. That constantly goes on in animal's life. He has no higher understanding. That's not allowed in that body. By Krishna's arrangement, it is like that. There is no higher understanding. So therefore, Pashubuddhi Mimam Jahi, he says, this Pashubuddhi, he is referring to that. If you consider that you are this body, if you consider you are this body, the body has taken birth. And that is a fact. If it is like that, it will come out that you have born. But my dear king, please give up this ignorance that I am going to die. If you think that whatever that is born, it has to die. Anyone that is born, it has to die. Why? Because it is asat. What is the nature of asat? Changing. Isn't it? Constantly changing. That is the nature of asat. Sat means which never changes. Unchanging truth. So Krishna says here that if you think like that if you are born, then the body has to die. But you are not born even. You are not even born. very difficult to accept this, isn't it? For most of the people who are on the bodily concept of life, this Vedanta philosophy is very difficult to understand, because they have not even experienced when the truth is spoken to them, when Krishna is putting it in front of us, that you are something different than this body. That is why in the Vedic tradition, the other traditions have come up because of this only. That various other, according to their qualification, what they are capable of accepting, that's been told. For example, this high understanding, what Krishna is saying and Sudeva Goswami is saying here, it is impossible for many people to accept in this world if you tell these things to them, because they never knew there's a thing called a soul exist. And if you tell them that you are not this body, you are the soul, they will just not be able to connect with that in their own mind, which is very difficult for them. And therefore, other philosophies have come up to begin for them to start with something. To start with something. That's when it was spoken to them that you understand that God exists elsewhere and you are here and you have a connection with God, you pray to God. In this level, it starts from there, from the very basics. You have to start with that. On the very, very basic level. That's why in the same Vedic tradition we have Advaitam, Vishishtadvaitam, Dvaitam, Shuddhadvaitam, Kevaladvaitam. Like that, so many different levels the philosophy is presented to people. So that wherever you can connect yourself, where your faith allows you to accept it, you take it from that level onwards. But the highest realization, Krishna is saying here, body was never born. And body has no death either. Which means purely 100% situated on the spiritual platform. Which is very difficult for most of the people to take it on board. Isn't it? If you tell the people, I mean especially one who have gone through the Oxford and Cambridge, if you tell him these things, he would just look at it from an intellectual platform. He won't understand anything about this. This requires that chitta-shuddhi inside, purity inside, and proper cultivation of bhakti. Through that only this will come to understand, this higher understanding what Sudeva Goswami and Krishna is speaking here in the Bhagavadam and Bhagavad Gita. Then, this can never happen. He says, you are never born. Then, you are not going to take birth again, you are not going to die again. That Sat has no birth or death. Asat will always take birth and die. This will continuously happen. So, therefore, Sudeva Goswami makes clear to Parikshit, though to get to this misunderstanding. Now, Parikshit in the beginning thought that he is going to die in 7 days' time. But at this point, Parikshit is also experiencing that Brahman realization because of the mercy of Sudeva Goswami's association. This is what association does. When Sudeva Goswami was fixed in this platform of Brahman realization, and the 7 days association has lifted Parikshit to the same platform as Sudeva Goswami. He says, so at that point, Parikshit, Sudeva Goswami wanted to make one more thing clear to him, that will the Tatshaga not bite me? That question came up. Will Tatshaga not bite me? Because Tatshaga was supposed to bite him, isn't it? So Sudeva Goswami says to him, as soon as I get up and walk away from here, he will come. Tatshaga will come. And Leli Hanam, if you look into the verses there, at that afterwards, that is in the same chapter, it says here that that particular chapter, fifth chapter, is called Brahmobadesham. That is the chapter where Sudeva Goswami instructed the handed over the final realization to Parikshit. So there he says here, Dashandam takshagam pade lelihanam vishanane nadrakshyasi shariram cha vishwam cha prataghalpanam. Says here, Dashandam takshagam pade lelihanam vishanane Dashandam takshagam pade. When Takshaga will come here and he will bite your feet. He'll bite your feet. And what will happen? Lelihanam vishananai. That snake, sarpam of Takshaga. And vishananai. that how will he bite? With his poisonous teeth, he will bite you. Na drakshasi shariram cha vishwam cha pradagalmana. By then, you would have left your body already before he bites you. You would have left the body. And then, what will you see? You will see your body, tatshaga, the tatshaga and the rest of the world, all non-different from Brahman. All non-different from Brahman. This is the realization. That once you have come to the freedom from this body, freedom from this mind, freedom from the senses, intelligence, false ego, and your consciousness has become merged with the truth, that is the Aham Brahmasmi state, then you are looking at your own body and seeing that this material body, this tatshaga, this poison is injecting, and the rest of the world, what you are living in, they are all nothing but an expansion of the truth, Brahman. Brahman has expanded in that form. That is why he says here, Dashandam tatshagam pade lelihanam mushananai nadrakshasi shariram ja visham ja pradagalmanam. Nadrakshasi is not going to see anymore. What? Shariram ja visham ja pradagalmana. Shariram means his own body and the whole world different from the Atmana, from the soul. So, something very difficult for us to experience today in our conditioned state. But the truth is there in the Bhagavatam. Krishna is also exactly stressing the same point to us. So, when we are confused about this body and the soul, these are the chapters which will help us to get through that confusion in our mind. This is spiritual understanding of life. That Krishna is, through Bhagavad Gita, he is giving the cream of the philosophical understanding of the soul. And in practical experience, Sudeva Goswami is showing to us with his instructions to Parikshit as well. We don't have to doubt about any of these things because these are the very fundamentals of the Vedic tradition. And if Vedas are true, this is all true. If Vedas are not true, then everything we have to throw it away. But that cannot be. Vedavyasa Maharshi, Sudeva Goswami, and all the other great personalities in the Vedic tradition, they have no intention to mislead us. Or they are not going to gain anything from that by doing that to us. So, if we understand that, Sugadeva Goswami says to him that he will come and he will come with his venomous teeth and he will bite and he will lick at your feet and bite him. But at that time you will see, you will experience, he says. Not that you will see, you will experience that all these things are non-different from Brahman. That nothing exists separately from the soul. Nothing exists. You won't find a tatshaga separate from the soul. And you will not find another world existing separately from the soul. And that is what, and that to prove that, in another verse in the Bhagavatam, you will see what Parikshit said about that immediately. Aham Brahma Param Dhamma Brahma Aham Paramam Padam Evam Samichan Almanam Atmanyathaya Nishkale. Parikshit is saying at that time that Evam Brahma Param Aham Brahma Param Dhamma. I am Brahma. He has realized that. Aham Brahmam. I am Brahmam. Param dhama brahmaham paramam padam. Paramam padam brahma. The supreme destination of Brahmam. I am that. And evam samikshan atmanam atmanyathaya nishkalem. That atmanam. I have merged my soul into that Brahmam. It's already merged with that soul. And athanam. Athanam means it has become one with that. Evam samichan, I am seeing it like that. Parikshit is saying like that. Then, so it is there in the Bhagavadam to point out to us that the Surubam, our Surubam is like this. That thing which is inside us, constantly telling us, aham, 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 aham asmi, aham asmi. What is that going to merge with that Brahmam? It is this aham asmi inside, which is now present in us in the form of aham aham. That means when the false ego is not affecting us, when you are free from false ego, inside the consciousness is telling us, aham, aham, inside, isn't it? Aham, I exist, aham asmi. That aham, what Krishna is talking about here, that is Brahman. Once again, he wanted to confirm that Brahman is aham, parampadam. Andastiri Atmana Paramampadam Nahi Kutrajal Kailasova Vaiguntova Gandhavim Atraiva Satyatmani Paramampadam. That this Paramampadam, what we are talking about, it is not a material realization of moving from one place to another. It is the spiritual realization. It is not in the Vaikuntham Kailasam where we were talking that we'll go to another abode and get it there. It has to happen here, right now, in this our own present situation where we are today. So, evam samichan, Parikshit has experienced here before he went to the spiritual world. Spiritual experiences happen to him right now here. And there is no point in thinking that because it's already there in us, that it is pointless to think that it will happen to us later. This is the important thing. That right now, many of us are thinking that this will happen only after death. But Krishna is pointing out to us, right now you are inside, I am inside you. Isn't it? Right now I am inside you. For which there is no birth, no death. Na jayate mriyate. So if you don't capture this realization here today, before you leave this body, Krishna's point is, this is not something kept for you somewhere else to take it later. You see? So self-realization must happen here before we leave the body. And that is what it is perfect. Otherwise it is not. That to think that it is something kept going to happen later is not right. It has to happen today. As much as our consciousness is shifted its attention from the body to the soul, and if that realization comes true, then it can happen today, right now. It doesn't have to wait till that long, till we leave this body and go to the spiritual world. Because there is no proper understanding of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, many times people misunderstand in this way, that liberation is after death, that somewhere else I have to go and get it from there. And that may or may not happen, but that's another thing. But a person who has come to this state of realization here, he doesn't have to worry about that statement from Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, which says that whatever you think at the time of death will be your next destination. Only one who has realized here, for him that thing will happen. It's not that whole life, we live a life different from spiritual life, and by hook or crook, somehow Krishna will come and pick me up. It's not going to happen. That will not happen. We have to know this point very clearly. When Krishna says that in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna wants us to understand the second chapter first, before we come to the 9th or 10th chapter, where Krishna speaks about that. So, the important point is, that the na jayate mriyate va kadachil nayam bhutva bhavito vana bhuyam. It has not happened. The birth hasn't happened to the soul. The birth has happened to the body. And similarly, the death also has not happened to the soul. It is only happening to the body. Why? Krishna says, defines there very clearly. Ajaha, nityaha, shashvadaha, puranaha. See the qualities of the soul. Ajaha, nityaha, shashvadaha, puranaha. You cannot stress more than this about the nature of the soul. Ajo nityam shashvadoyam puranam nahanyate hanyamane sharire. That even if shariram, body you can kill, but nahanyate, he is never gets killed. And if he wants to kill someone, that is also not possible. Why? Because he is also exists forever. They are one and the same thing, the soul. One soul cannot go and kill another soul. One body can kill another body. But one soul can never touch another soul and give destruction to it. So these are the fundamentals of Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is laid on these principles. After understanding this and getting that firmly established within us, then we should discuss about what Krishna says later. What is that? That അന്ധകാലേ ജമാമേവ സ്മരം തിക്വാ കലേഭരം എപ്രയാതി സമദ്ഭാവം യാതി നാസ്തി അത്ര സംശയ എം എം വാവിസ്മരൻ ഭാവം ത്യജത്യന്തി കലേവരം തം തം ഏവേദി കൗന്ദേയ സദാ തദ്ഭാവഭാവിത ദേ ആർ ഓൾ മച്ച് ലൈറ്റർ കംസ് ഇൻ ദി ഭഗവത്ഗീത ബട്ട് ദിസ് ഈസ് ദി പ്രിലിമിനറി റിയലൈസേഷൻ വൺ ഷുഡ് ഹാവ് ആൻഡ് ഇഫ് വിത്ത് ദിസ് റിയലൈസേഷൻ ഇഫ് വി ലിവ് ഇൻ ദിസ് വേൾഡ് കൃഷ്ണ സേസ് നാച്ചുറലി അറ്റ് ദ ടൈം ഓഫ് ഡെത്ത് ദാറ്റ് യുവർ കോൺഷ്യസ്നസ് വിൽ ബി സോ ക്ലിയർ that you will go back to the destination where you don't have to come back again, that you leave the body in that consciousness. Not that it's going to happen by fluke. It's not going to happen by fluke. There's no chance that many of us think like that, isn't it? I'll carry on with the way I am, and if by chance Krishna is a little merciful, he's very merciful, and he will do it at that time when we leave the body. Somehow it will happen. That hope is still inside every one of us. We are carrying that hope. But no, that is not bhakti. That is misunderstanding. Bhakti is accepting what Krishna is saying and bringing that into our own life and living on that understanding. And we don't accept Krishna's words and simply make it for a ritual. Then it won't work. That's the point. So, Krishna is very particular about this because Krishna says that the soul is already inside. I am already inside you and you are not recognizing me now when I am inside you. You are not accepting that. And you are coming up with all kinds of alternative proposals. The point is that Krishna says that in the Shastram they call it as Hastamalagam. Hastamalagam means, Hastam is the hand, amala fruit, or just like a fruit which is right in your hand. You are not relishing it. You are not enjoying it. And similarly, the soul is right inside you and you are not taking note of it. And you are ignoring that completely. And then you have so many other projects and plans going on all over the world. You are chasing after that, thinking that I have done all this for Krishna, so Krishna will come and pick me up at the time of death. This misunderstanding. So Krishna says is there that you should enjoy this situation where your identity with the body, you should shift that attention to the soul, and in the enjoyment of the soul, you should get intoxicated with that. That is Krishna's point. Then, samikshan samyak. Right at this point in time, he says, this consciousness should separate from the dead matter, jadam, and you should see separately from that. Only then it will happen. Now everything is mixed up, isn't it? The body, the soul, the mind, intelligence, everything is mixed up. And if you separate them all out, what do you see? Atmanam atmani adhaya. Therefore, how do we see this? Aham aham inside. I am the soul. I am the soul. I am the soul. I am inside. That spurti. Spurti it is called. That it is not to be seen by intelligence. You know what I'm saying? That you should not use your intelligence to understand the presence of the soul inside or your identity with the soul inside. must remember that because we have the... we know that the mind exists, intelligence exists, all because of the presence of that spurti inside. Presence of the soul inside. Because of the presence of the soul only, we get to know the existence of mind and intelligence. So therefore, we should not try to understand that soul through the mind and intelligence. They are not the cause of the soul. Soul is the cause of all the other things. Soul is the cause of all the other things. Intellectually and on a mental platform, we should not try to understand the soul. How do you see the soul then? You have to see the soul with the soul itself. That when you come to that, attention moves on to the soul, there is no two things existing separately from the soul. The consciousness has become the soul instead of the body. That's what happens. Nishkale means one which has no kala. Complete. Takshaka will come and bite. You won't find anything different from Takshaka or the world different from the soul. And what is the situation of Parikshit at that point? Pravishto Brahma Nirvanam Abhayam Darshida Tvaya. In the Bhagavadam, in the 6th chapter, after this all happens in the 5th chapter, all this discussions. But then Parikshit has, Sudev Goswami has got up and is walking away from there, and he was asking Parikshit, what is happening to you now? What he says. So Parikshit replies, it's like this. Siddhosmi anigrahidosmi. Siddhosmi. I am now experiencing what you have told me. Siddhosmi. I've got it. Anigrahidosmi. That I've got completely your mercy. Only by that I've realized what the truth is. So you can see in Parikshit what is change that's happening in Parikshit. Prior to Sudev Goswami's fifth chapter in the 12th canto is important. It's a very important chapter. It is in that chapter Sudev Goswami eventually hands over that mercy. Gives him that understanding. Immediately it worked for him. Why? The inside was pure. Parikshit was pure. Hearing so many days about Krishna continuously. Hearing about Krishna means hearing about the soul. This is what we must remember. You're not talking about the pastime simply as a katha here. It has gone from that stage much more than that. But katha has purified inside. That person, Parikshit, is purified so well inside. As soon as the final knowledge was delivered, immediately it caught on, the fire inside. And that is why he says, Siddhosmi anigrahidosmi bhavada karuna almana. By your mercy, this has happened. Shravido yachame sakshal anathi nidhano hari. Then he says here, Shravido yachame sakshal anathi nidhano hari. That I have understood that me is free from birth, death, and janmam, and all the other six kinds of shadurmi. We've discussed this before, isn't it? Shadurmi means what? The thing, way we experience in our life in this world is these six changes that's happening. What are they? Birth, death, old age, hunger and thirst. Isn't it? Birth, death, old age, hunger, thirst. Then, and jara, maranam, old age, death, birth, old age, death. What is that? There's one more left.
Hankering and lamentation.
Hankering and lamentation, yeah. Hankering and lamentation, yeah. So the six things, what happens, shoka moham. So these six things are in relationship with the body. In relationship with the body. So Parikshit is saying here, Shravido yachame sakshal anadi nithano hari. That soul in us is actually the form of Krishna. Krishna's form is present inside. That also you have instructed me. And you have also shown me the proper way to get to that stage of realization. That is what the king is saying here. And then, at the end, the king says here, Parikshit is saying here, Bhagavam stakshagadibhyo mrityubhyo navibhemyaham pravishto brahmanurvanam abhayam darshidam tvayam. Pravishto brahmanurvanam abhayam darshidam tvayam. That brahmanurvanam pravishta, that I have the brahman realization has happened to me completely. That abhayam darshidam tvayam. That what is the brahman realization? Abhayam. Abhayam means free from fear. And it is nirvanam. Nirvanam means it is ananda surubam. It is full of bliss as well. Tvaya darshidam. What you have shown to me, Brahman. So, which I have reached. Then he says, Pravishto Brahman Bhagavam Tatshagadibhyo Mrityibhyo Nabibhemyaham. I have no fear of death, nor I have any fear of Tatshaga at this stage. So, fear of Tatshaga was very strong inside, but now the fear of Tatshaga has completely gone, as well as the fear of death also has gone away from him. That's what he's saying here. Pravishto brahmanurvanam abhayam darshidam tvayam. That you have shown me that situation where you are free from any kind of fear. I have entered into Brahma. And what does this mean? I have entered into Brahma means. That is also a question, isn't it? We will misunderstand. Brahma means since I have gone and entered into something else. No. I have entered into myself. That's what it is. My true nature is the soul. In other words, I lost my bodily concept, bodily identity, and got into my identity as the soul. That is what is Brahmanurvana means.
So all these things, because everything is very abstract, isn't it? When we talk about Brahma, we think, what is this thing called Brahma? When we talk about Golokam, Vrindavan, Vaikuntham, all these things are unknown to us at this moment. But Bhagavatam is very specific on this one point, that the soul inside is Brahmam inside. So I have entered into Brahma means I have become the soul. And the bodily identity is completely finished. I have left the body once for all. So that is the perfect stage. And Krishna is saying that here, na jayate mriyate va kadajal nayam bhutva bhavido vana bhuya ajo nityam shashadoyam puranam nahanyade hanyamane sharire. That shariram is go. Shariram will go, and nobody has to take note of the shariram. That is the proper realization. Not to take note of this realization. When the mind completely leaves you, mind is completely leaves. Why? Because mind has come from the soul. Once you have entered into the soul, there is no such thing called mind anymore existing after that. We give so much importance to the mind in our, to my mind, we say, isn't it? To my mind all the time. But what is this thing called mind? It is something which came out at some point, and whole day it keeps you dragging here and there. And in the night when you go to sleep, it goes and dissolves. Again, he gets up first before we get up. And then he starts disturbances again. So that when it entered, aham aham, that's spurti. I am the spurti, that's the spurti, it's called spurti. It enters into its identity. And this this understanding, this identity as soul, is that thing which actually swallows the mind. The identity with the soul is the one which eventually swallows the mind. The mind disappears in him at the end. And as soon as the mind came to it, it catches the mind and it takes in. It takes inside. Abhayam darshidam tvaya. It is that point that freedom from fear happens to the individual. There is no more individual there at that time. His individual becomes that soul himself, and therefore there is no fear anymore after that. Then Bhagavan Takshagadibhyo Murtibhyo Side Mukham Pravishto Brahmanurvanam Abhayam Darshidam Tvayam. For me there is no Takshagan now. There is no Takshaga. Remember, we have seen discussing this before. We have all these different names and forms in this creation, Namam and Rupam. Where did this Namarupam came? Namarupam came because we lost our connection with the soul. As soon as we realize that we are the body, then all these different bodies exist. All the different forms exist. So Namarupam is a product of the material consciousness. It's not a product of spiritual consciousness. Spiritual consciousness, only spirit exists, which is Brahman. And Brahman has manifested in this form to us in our conditioned state. In the liberated state, all these things do not exist. That's what Krishna is saying here. Na jayate mriyate va kadajal. This aham sphurti never takes birth and never dies. Aham sphurti. Aham sphurti means this consciousness which I am. It never takes birth because it's always there inside. Only what has happened to us is we have not taken note of it. We have taken note of it. We have only taken note of our false ego. Isn't it? Ahankaram inside. That's what is operating whole day through in different ways. But when the attention has, when we have not taken note of it, what Krishna is saying here is that the the ahamsphurti has never taken birth. Ahamsphurti means the soul. And it never dies. And it is not going to take birth again and to disappear. So from all these, studying Bhagavad Gita, we can understand one important point, is that the soul is only what matters. Everything else is coming and going, coming and going. Body comes and goes, mind comes and goes, intelligence comes and goes. But this aham aham, inside this, I am there, which is constantly telling us, whether it is night or day or dark or bright, doesn't matter. All the time from inside, my consciousness is there, which you cannot, and in any circumstances you cannot reject. And that keeps existing, irrespective of what happens to us. And all time, place and everything. kalam and desham, isn't it? Even time and place will eventually dissolve in that. Because why? Because if you have come to this eternally existing identity of the soul, then time doesn't exist anymore, because that is eternal. When you are on a temporally level in the body, then you have to take note of the time, isn't it? That one day I have to leave this body and I have to retire at 65 and I have to get married at a particular age, and all kinds of things is based on the bodily understanding, with the identity with the body. So as long as there is identity with the body, Krishna is saying there that time exists for you. Time exists for you. Similarly, as long as there is identity with the body, the place exists for you. A place exists. But desham and kalam, these are two things. Time and space, we talk about. Time and space exist only when there is identity with the body. Once identity has gone to the soul, there is no time, there is no space. Why? Because your consciousness, and consciousness is everywhere. That is also, Sudeva Goswami pointed out when he spoke to Vedavyas, isn't it? That putredi tanmayaya taravopinedu tam sarvabhuda hridayam munim anatosmi. He proved it to Vedavyas, sarvabhuda hridayam I am. I am sarvabhuda hridayam. I am in every living entity. So who should reply whom? Who should reply whom when you are present everywhere? So that's why when one has reached this state of realization like him, for him nobody comes and nobody goes. Remember that example I mentioned before, that a personality who has reached that state, some people went to visit him. But the people who went to visit him, they have not reached that state. But the other person, he has made it a practice to think in these lines all the time in his life. He practiced in this way. So when they came to see him and they were saying, bidding good farewell, he says to, they were feeling sorry that, oh, we are leaving you, we had such good association and all that. He says, you have never come and you are not leaving me either. So that is how he was seeing it from his point of view. Why did he say that? He does not want his mind to get affected by all this and make that movement inside. That is perfection in spiritual life, that one can think in those lines. That everywhere when one is present in everything, where is the question of one coming and going? Where is the question of one leaving and coming back? All these things don't exist. That is in ignorance, these statements. So, here and now, haloga vedi, right now here, that is why Krishna is talking about kalam, desham, time and place, everything is when you are sitting inside the body. When you are in the body, you have to take note of all these things. Otherwise, ajo nityam shashvatoyam puranam, that for him there is no time and space. For ajo nityam, ajaha nityaha shashvataha puranaha, he is above all these things, our time and space. So nahanyade hanyamani sharire. So Krishna says here that if constantly Krishna is reminding us that why he is called Puranam. Puranam means he is the oldest, isn't it? He is the oldest. Now, one important thing here is that one who has situated in that consciousness, Puranam, if he has realized the soul, in other words, self-realization has happened to him, for him every time is new. All the time he is new. Why? When you say that something has to stay new, that there must be something before that existing, isn't it? Older than that. Something older than that. Say, if I say to you that a fruit fully ripe, if I had to say it's ripe, that means before it has become ripe, it must have been another form when it was not ripe in that state. So everything, when we are saying something is new, we are talking from a relative platform, isn't it? On a relative level, we are saying that it is new. But Puranam means it has always existed. It never had anything before than that. How eternal the nature of the soul, that's what Krishna is saying here. Nityaha Shashwataha. That's why the same meaning in 2-3 words is stressing that. Nityaha Shashwataha. There's not much difference between Nityam and Shashwatam. More or less the same thing. But to stress that point, he also says Puranaha. Purana means it is the oldest. There was nothing older than that. There was nothing which existed before that. So Ajaha, Nityaha, Shashwataha, Puranaha. All the four things. So Krishna says here that once you have realized that truth, what will happen to you? You will also become like that. Ajaha, Nityaha, Shashwataha, Puranaha. There will be no more changes in you. And because there will be no more changes in you, every moment you will look as though you are very fresh. Because there's no changes happening in you. When the changes are happening in the body and the mind and identification with the body and the mind, you become old. That is Krishna's point. That is why many, many Mahatmas, they don't become old. Throughout life, they look the same. Throughout the life, they look the same, very much the same. But when their prarabdham is there, prarabdham don't go away easily. Prarabdham will hold you back. So when the prarabdham finishes, they have to leave the body and go. But while living in the body, because inside is so fresh, because of this realization with the soul, even in the changes in the body, you may not be able to notice it so much, to such an extent that it can affect the body. There were people like that. There were people like that who bodily changes you don't notice so much. You may think that he looks the same when he was 40 and when he's 60 and when he's 80 also, he looks more or less the same. Not much changes happen to him. We think that, oh, he must be taking something. People will make all foolish statements. They'll say, oh, the water where we were getting the water must have its effect on us, a special well. Water. Oh, I was eating only organic food. or something like that. Some things people will talk about. That's why his hair has never gone grey. We make statements, isn't it? Something like that. We will say all these kind of things. But quite often, Krishna is saying that because of this nature of the soul is Ajam Nityam Shashwatam Puranam, once you have come to that platform, because the soul is your identity, not the body anymore, it can have some effect on the body as well. Body also will not turn out to be so quickly aging. It doesn't age so quickly. This is another thing to take note of. Just like the when we see the sunshine, sun's appearance every morning, we find it very beautiful, isn't it? Every time. Every day when you look at the sun, it's beautiful. And it's happening for millions of years like this. But every single morning when you look at the sun, why sun is still beautiful? Why is that beauty in the sun? Because of this principle. Krishna is present there, Surya Narayana, in that sun. And Krishna's consciousness is, you can imagine, it doesn't affect him. The old, although scientists are telling us when the helium runs out, the sun planet will go die. Our intelligent so-called scientists, they have managed to tell us this absolute truth to us. And we fools go and keep on repeating this in the university. For this to know, you have to go to Oxford and Cambridge to understand this higher knowledge. And this is the sad story. As though they know sun so well, that when they make these glorious statements about the sun. So anyway, so Krishna is saying here, that the soul, yesterday we talked about this, aprameyam, isn't it, is the origin of all happiness. Anandam comes from the soul, nowhere else. Even when little sense enjoyment gives us happiness, that happiness is the origin, is the soul. Because the soul is present inside, because of that happiness that you are experiencing. Whereas, anything you take into the mind, it will become decomposed after a while. So, most of the in the acharyas and most of the mahatmas refer to the mind like a fridge. You put into the fridge something, it has lost its freshness, isn't it? Then you can take it out for 3 days or 6 days or whenever you want. For your convenience, you have used the fridge. Similarly, anything that you have taken to the mind and you have kept on repeating that within the mind, through all kinds of chitta-vrittis that goes through, what comes out from the mind is also garbage. What comes out from the mind is also garbage. once you separate the mind from the soul, and you're only absorbed in the soul, not in the mind, it will remain fresh. That's another important point. That mind means something which is dead, like a fridge. It is. All the things what mind creates is ready-made. You notice that? Everything that mind creates is ready-made. It will offer to you something, it will create and offer it to you. That's the duty of the mind. It never talks about the soul. It is not able to grasp the soul. It can only accept the finite objects in this world. Anything, once you start talking about soul or karmam or jiva, mind will immediately go into lame. It will go to sleep straight away. Isn't it? In Swarupam, in one's own nature, nothing is ready-made. Nothing is ready-made. The source is creativity. Creativity is there inside the soul. The soul can do things in a different way. It acts in a different way. Continuously, to make ourselves experience everything new is the nature of the soul. This is why we say that when you look at Krishna, Krishna never becomes old. Isn't it? Navayavvanam cha Vedeshu durlabham adurlabham atma bhakto govindam adipurusham tamaham bhajami. Why does that statement? Because the soul is present there. In complete form, Krishna is present as a soul. Therefore, when you look at the soul, soul never ages. That is why aging doesn't happen to Krishna. You don't see at the age of 125, when Krishna was leaving the planet, if you read Srimad Bhagavatam, you will find how Krishna looked like. And at the age, when he was in Kurukshetra, in the battlefield, probably Krishna was around 80 years old. And when he looked at Krishna at that time, Krishna looked at Navayavanamcha as a 25 years old. So soul has no aging. Aging is only for who are on the bodily identity. When you are purely, if you have that kind of status, like Krishna status, there is no question of finding any old age in that body. You cannot see that. You cannot notice it either. That is an important point. That it is the oldest, and at the same time it's the most new thing. It's the oldest, and Krishna is the oldest person in this whole creation. And at the same time, Navayavanamcha, he is the most youthful person as well. That is the nature of the soul. That is why that word Puranam is used. Puranaha. Shashadoyam Puranam Nahanyade Hanyamane Sharirem. So, when you kill the body, when the body is getting destroyed, the soul never gets touched. Whatever happens to the soul, your consciousness is also not touched. Whatever happens to the body, no matter what happens to the body, your consciousness cannot be touched, which is the soul. And saying this, Krishna moves on to the next verse, verse 21. So in verse 20, what we have seen is the beauty of the soul. In other words, all the verses from now on is simply Krishna talks about the soul. And in order to get this point to our head, that we are not talking something abstract. We are talking about something very real. Only thing, our consciousness was not able to capture that truth. And we have fallen away from that. To take us our attention back to the truth again, Krishna is bringing this understanding to us from different angles. So in this verse, he talks about the beauty of the soul. What is that? Ajaha, Nityaha, Shashodaha, Puranaha. And what else? Nahanyade, Hanyamane, Sharire. Even if the body is killed, Shariram will get killed, but soul will never kill anybody. Soul cannot be killed, and soul cannot kill another soul cannot kill this soul either. All these are misunderstanding as far as Krishna is concerned. Why? The soul is present in everyone as the same thing. It's the same one. It doesn't get involved in killing. Killing is not the business of the soul. Killing is the business of the body. So, a very beautiful explanation of the soul in that verse. And he also mentions that na jayate na mriyate va kadachil nayam bhutva bhavido va na bhuya. There is no birth, it is no death as far as the soul is concerned. Saying that, Krishna goes on to the next verse.
Text 21. Please repeat. Veda vinashinam nityam.
Veda vinashinam nityam.
Ya enam ajamavyayam.
Enam ajamavyayam.
Katham sa purusha partha.
Katham sa purusha partha.
Kam khata yadi hantikam. Veda vinashinam nityam.
Veda vinashinam nityam.
Ya enam ajamavyayam. Katham sa purusha partha.
Katham sa purusha partha.
Kam khata yadi hantikam. Translation. O Partha, how can a person who knows that the soul is indestructible, unborn, eternal and immutable kill anyone or cause anyone to kill? Veda vinashinam nityam ya enam ajam avyayam katham sa purusha partha kam khadayadi hantikam. So that is that verse. So Krishna says Veda vinashinam nityam, that avyayam. Avyayam means the happiness in the soul never comes down. In material life, our material happiness, we go up, we come down. Isn't it? That's our material happiness is. It's no time that material happiness sometimes lasts 10 minutes, sometimes 5 minutes, sometimes 1 minute. More than 10 minutes is very rare. Because after 10 minutes we lose the happiness that you get from that. That is the nature of the material happiness. Krishna says, Veda vinashinam nityam, the know about the soul, that once you come to that platform, it is ever blissful. At no point it comes down. You know? The nature of the soul, Krishna is saying, that happiness that you experience from the soul, once it's realized, is that happiness always stays steady. It doesn't decrease any moment. And like everything else you practice in this life, you do something, after a while you get bored with it. Isn't it? You get bored with it. No matter what it is. Something what you have tried in this world, everything you want to give it a try. And you give it a try and after a while you get bored with it. But Krishna says, soul is not like that. Once you come to a platform of the soul, this getting bored with things goes away. You don't get bored anymore after that. Boring, getting bored with something is only on a bodily level, on a bodily identity. Therefore, that spiritual bliss, sukham is not the right word, the spiritual bliss is, therefore it's called the word bliss, avyayam. Avyayam means it doesn't get finished. It is always stays the same. The example given is that the salt mountains, when the salt is made from the sea, they make the salt and they make a mountain out of the salt. Big cone-like thing, they make it. As much as they dry up the salt, the sea water, and the salt is created, and the salt stays in huge heaps of salt. So one of those salt heaps on the salt mountain wanted to find out how deep the sea is. So decided to go into the water and measure the depth of the ocean. Will that happen? The moment salt goes back to the sea, it will get dissolved in that. Isn't it? The moment it goes to the sea, it will get dissolved in the salt. Similarly, the soul also, once we have our false ego goes away, our false ego completely goes away, and we become absorbed in the soul completely, what will happen is it will get absorbed in that, our consciousness. And when the mind, which right now is projecting the false ego to the world as we are, will move away from this false ego, ahankaram, the false ego which is very strong inside, that ahankaram will go, and if it goes and goes inside and try to measure the depth of the soul, the ahankaram will completely get destroyed and what will remain is only the soul. Ahankaram will never come back again.
Once the ahankaram false ego goes away to the soul to measure its depth, like the salt mountain, it goes, the salt hill goes to measure the depth of the sea, how the salt hill itself gets dissolved. Similarly, the false ego in us, when it reaches the soul and starts measuring the soul, in that process it will get completely extinguished. It will get destroyed, in other words. That's the point. Therefore, ahankaram, when it starts inquiring about the soul, ahankaram, when it starts inquiring about the soul, because it will happen, then it will get destroyed there. And therefore, another name for Krishna, in the Vishnu Sahasranamam you will see, is given this title as Mahagartham. Mahagartham means, Gartham means a deep pit. What do they call it? The bottomless pit. Krishna is a bottomless pit. When I talk about Krishna means, the soul inside is a bottomless pit. Once you go and fall into that, then you won't be able to come out of it. You will keep going down, 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 down like that. And that is what is called Mahagartham. Mahagartham is another name for Krishna. It is in the thousand names of Vishnu, you will see. Mahagartham, Mahaprabhu. That Mahagartha is Krishna. Mahagartham is Krishna. So, similarly, all the great Mahatmas are also like that. Mahagartham, they are. Mahagartham is their name. All the Mahatmas are called as Mahagartham. Mahagartham means, if you go to them, what will happen is you will fall into them, and then you won't be able to come back from them. You won't be able to come back from them. There was one person who was a very close associate of Mahatma Gandhi. And when freedom struggle was going on, there were so many personalities from abroad, they were coming to see Gandhiji, to discuss with him. Because there were many people who had, if you read the history at that time, you'll see, there were many personalities who had attraction to Gandhiji's philosophy of this fighting with the non-violence. And they also felt that Gandhiji had a just cause for which he was fighting. So, attracted by the Gandhiji's purity and his strength of conviction and truthfulness, they wanted to meet this personality and they used to come. And when they came, Mahatma Gandhi used to talk to them about the Vedic understanding. And naturally, they had this understanding that India had something unique to offer to the world, which nowhere else you found. What is that? The spiritual culture. This deep understanding of the spiritual life, which never existed anywhere in this world, what existed in India. Particularly at that time, there were many great personalities. So, one of Gandhiji's, you can say a servant, or who was closely serving Gandhiji, he was asked to take one person, someone who came from the States, to go to another spiritual personality, to go there. So, he was told, Gandhiji told him, you take him to that person and let him have a discussion with him. Because Gandhiji was not prepared to discuss very high philosophy. Gandhiji was a very practical person. He had deep realizations in him, but he was not that learned in Shastram, or who could clear questions to such depth, what the learned, spiritually advanced people could do. But he was, this is all Krishna's arrangement. Krishna sends people what is needed, or that particular situation. But Gandhiji's personality was such that whatever he has understood, it was absolutely 100% in practice. That was the beauty of Mahatma Gandhi. Whatever he has understood, it was 100% in practice in that person. So therefore, people were attracted by him. Many people, you get attracted to someone when he is practicing what he is preaching, isn't it? You don't want somebody tell you one thing and doing something different. So, but Gandhiji's attraction was that. But at the same time, when you got asked a deeper level questions, Gandhiji was finding it difficult to answer, because Gandhiji was, life was in a different world, it came up in that way for him. So Gandhiji used to tell them to go to different people at that time. So when this person came from the United States, Gandhiji asked one of his associates to take him to him and let him meet that person, and he can ask whatever questions he wants to ask. So it was then that the person who was going to go, he hasn't been to him before. So he was going to take this person to him. So he told his wife that I'm going to see such and such a person. This visitor has come from the States. Mahatmaji has asked him to take him to him. So his wife says to him that I am told if you are going to see him, you should not go alone. You should go with all the family members. Why? Because if you go there and you start talking to this person, this Mahatma, it is possible that you will get convinced about what he is saying and you may give up the family, everything. But so you take the family also with you, so that if they go with you, you won't give up the family life and leave me all together alone here. And you go after him. That may happen because he is Mahagartham. It's a bottomless pit. You go and meet such people, you have fallen into that, then you won't be able to come out of that. Because you will get so convinced about the truth by associating with such people. So this is one incident. It has happened to quite a few people, that they have got left home thinking that they will inquire about the truth. But when you see the truth right in front of you standing like that, what can you do? You are unable to. When a little vairagyam happens inside, and one searches after the truth, and if that inquiry is good inside, it is strong inside, and if they come into contact with such personalities, now automatically your mind will change. You won't be able to go back to your family life or to your social life or friends or relatives and all that leaves. In 1 second, the whole thing can change the life. It has happened to many, many people in this world. So that's why saying here, Mahagartha, that if you fall into that, you will keep on falling. You won't be able to get out of that. Then, so, it is something just like we say that when you go to these big hill stations like Ooty and Kodaikanal and all that, Simla and all that, where you go, when you go to these hill stations, people in India, I'm saying, generally they have a tendency to look down and see how deep it is from the top. They just want to see how deep it is and feel that little fear. They enjoy that fear they get from that. It's a bit of a kick inside, isn't it? So what they normally do, I've seen this in Ooty, I don't know about other places. Ooty, what they do, when you reach the top of the Ooty hills, mountains, there is a certain place where you can stand and look down. It's probably about 10,000, 12,000 feet down you can see, which is quite deep, isn't it? So there are people there, they tie a rope on your back and tie it and hold it back. So that even if you look and by chance anything happens, you won't fall, you'll pull the rope back, put it back. So similarly, when you go to see these Mahatmas, you need a rope behind. Otherwise, it is possible that you'll fall into this 12,000 feet down. You won't come back from that again, isn't it? So that's a similar example they give to tell us that the strength of the Mahatmas are like that. Even with Mahatmaji, many people have fallen like that. At that time, many, many leaders who participated in the independence movement, they have fallen into Gandhiji's personality like that. That's why the Mahatma name came to him. And they could not come back from that. They left home, went and joined him, and then they never took any interest in the family life, freedom movement. They become so absorbed. And that's how that process started. So Mahatma's symptoms are like that, isn't it? That as soon as you meet a Mahatma, you will fall into that situation. It's not artificially created. That's what you have to remember. It's not something you can create artificially. It is that person, is that. The truth is there standing in front of you. So, so Krishna says here that the false ego also, same thing will happen. False ego goes in and falls into the soul and it will never come back. And immeasurable bliss that it experiences at that point. Soul is, and at that point, Krishna says here, when he realizes that Atma is permanent, eternally liberated, it has no birth, no death, and it doesn't get destroyed, and also who knows he is not karta, who is not bhokta. That means I am not the doer, I am not the enjoyer. That also goes away from him. Sapurushaha, such a person, whom will he kill and how will he get killed? That's Krishna's point. That such a person who has gone through all these stages, that he knows that Atma doesn't get killed. Atma doesn't take birth. He also knows that the nature of the soul is eternal. It's always existing. And also, he does not think anymore, I am the doer or I am the enjoyer. Yesterday we were talking about that, isn't it? That I am doer, I am enjoyer is difficult something to completely give it up. But in the perfect realized state, that also will leave. That's the point Krishna is making. In the perfect realized state, I am the doer, I am the enjoyer will also go. And if this has all happened to that person, Krishna is asking the question, how can he think of killing someone, that or I'll get killed or I'm going to kill someone? That words alone has no meaning then, isn't it? Nahanyade hanyamani sharire. That so killing and getting killed doesn't exist. Sapurushaha. Then he knows that you can't do anything with the soul. With the soul, you can't do anything. You can't kill. Then you may ask the question that why is Krishna asking us to get involved in the war, if it is like that, if Krishna is in that platform. That Krishna's point is, in your dealings with this world, whatever you do it. But with this knowledge behind it, Arjuna's duty, Arjuna's job or an Arjuna's karma is what is defined as fighting. Fighting is Arjuna's karma. That therefore Krishna asked Arjuna to fight. Arjuna to fight. Krishna has not asked all of us to fight like Arjuna has fought, taking the weapons and fight. Arjuna's job or Arjuna's dharma or ashrama dharma dictates that Arjuna should fight. Then initially Krishna himself tried to avoid the war. But Krishna knew at some point in time, Krishna came to the conclusion very firmly inside that this war is unavoidable. Mahabharat war was unavoidable. So once Krishna has come to that conclusion, he knows that Prakriti, as material nature, has already dictated this, that this war must happen. And it is going to happen. Here, Arjuna is saying, I'm not going to fight. Then Krishna knows very well that Arjuna will not be able to refuse the fighting. So when Krishna says to Arjuna, then why Krishna has created this conflict in Arjuna's mind? That question will come, isn't it? On the one hand, Krishna knows very well that Arjuna has to fight because he is a Kshatriya. That is his duty. So Krishna says to Arjuna, I've given you all this understanding, but don't create any conflict inside you. You should not have any conflict inside. Because you may be thinking that I will not fight this war. I cannot fight this war. But I can tell you one thing. You have been created only to fight the war. So better to accept this rather than telling me that you cannot fight with this war. That from the very early age, material nature has brought you up in this consciousness of fighting. Fighting was a part of you. Therefore, it is like a pratibha. Pratibha means it's a talent which has been given to you by the Prakriti. Talent is something which we don't automatically, we take it for granted, isn't it? Talent, what is talent? Talent, for example, musical talent or any other talent some people have, they themselves have no control over it, isn't it? They themselves have no control over it. So, for example, a musician, musical talent, a person has musical talent. The talent is what is called as another vasana, which is material nature has put into that person. Even if he does not want it, it will still come out in some time or the other. That's why it's called pratibha. Pratibha is the word used in Shastram, but it's an English word close to that is the talent. So talent will come out in its own way. You cannot create that in a person. Material nature has prepared him in a particular way, a particular body, a particular mind, and particular qualities in him as put on by the material nature. So Krishna says here that similarly, the talent that has been put in you by the nature is fighting. That's the talent that's been put in you. So, quite often in the modern systems of education, because of the pressure builds up all the time in life about this education among the children, isn't it? So parents feel that even if he doesn't have the talent, he should have it, should get it. And we put the pressure on the child, do become like this, do this, do this. And if he's not doing it, we force it upon him and get it through him, this talent which he doesn't have. So Krishna is pointing out that Prakriti has put some talent in different persons in different things. And Arjuna's talent, what Krishna says here, is that this talent is in him that he has to fight. He has to fight. Tam ghatayadi. In fact, those who have got talent, they also do not know where it has come from, this talent. They are also unaware of that, where it has come from. Somehow it is working in a person. And they also don't have the freedom not to have it, that talent. That's just like singing. Singing is a talent with some people from the birth itself. And they do not know where it's coming from, how it happens. Similarly, artistic nature. You have seen with some devotees, they are very artistic. And naturally, that's why some of the devotees, you can see, they created some of the best paintings through their artistic creation. Because this talent was in them. And when you closely met these devotees, some of them, they had no other talent for anything else except this. When it comes to drawing pictures and form artistic work, they were experts at it. They had no interest in the philosophy. They had no interest in the music. They had no interest even chanting. All their interest was focused on this painting, pictures, one after the other, drawing it out. Similarly, you will notice also, some devotees, they have no interest in the philosophy. They have no interest in the shastram. They have no interest in the painting, but they have a lot of interest in the kirtanam. Why? That musical talent is pushing them in that direction. Some of the people who can sing very well, nice kirtan they can make, you can see they won't be very interested in the Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam. But as soon as you give them harmonium and madangam, they'll sit their hours together and sing and sing and sing. Why? It's forcing them from inside to act. They are not able to stop that. And as soon as you come and sit in Bhagavad Gita class, they'll sleep. They won't be able to do anything. Why? Because it's not interesting. The talent is so powerful inside that it is pushing them to act in one direction. That talent is not yours. That belongs to material nature. Material nature has put it in your body through that. That's what Krishna is saying here. That any time, any art or talent that is manifesting, that the best thing to do is to offer it to the Krishna himself who has given it to you. And then instead of taking all responsibility to yourself, and that's where things go wrong. When one starts thinking, I'm doing it, it's me who is, but instead of recognizing that it has come from Krishna, the beauty of all the great musicians in the past, in the history, that they never took it as their own talent. That's why we find great, great devotees were great singers, were great devotees. So many people, isn't it? They were all singers. Including Mirabai, Narasimha Mehta, Tyagaraja Swami, endless list you can find. You don't see them singing anything related to material life. None of their songs. Not even a tinge of material life involved in their songs. All their songs were dedicated to Ramachandra or Krishna or any deity whom they have worshipped. That is there. Because why? They recognized Krishna has given me this talent, so it should be offered to Krishna. It's Krishna's talent it is. It's flowing through me. So the right thing to do is to pass it back to Krishna. So therefore they never sung any songs related to our material life. Unfortunately it all degraded now. And they created the best music. Not the modern Oscar films and all that. We think that this is the new... All the rap music, we give so much importance to all this. They call it as music, isn't it? It's not even music from the point of view of Vedic philosophy. What is going on now in the name of music? So, because they were like that, they created the best music. And that best music, what they created, now these people are stealing. all these filmmakers and others, the best ragas they created, and all the others, they have stolen that music and they used it for their own film industry and dramas and other things. So that is not Krishna consciousness. The other thing is Krishna consciousness, offering to Krishna who gave us that talent first place. So in their spiritual life, all the great musicians never offered anything to for material happiness. Everything in relationship with the Krishnas. They themselves do not know that how that talent was coming out. Tyagaraja Swami's case, it was well known. Thousands and thousands of songs he wrote about Ramachandra. And so many famous songs came from Tyagaraja. He was such a perfect devotee that he could not offer it to anybody else, any of those songs what he wrote. He says, it's meant to please Ramachandra who has given me this talent. So, when Krishna is talking to Arjuna, that you can decide that you don't want to fight, but I've already selected you to fight, he says to Arjuna. And you have no freedom to go away from that. Why should you worry about this anymore? If you say to me that you are not going to fight, it's not going to happen. If you say that you are not going to fight, the material nature will force you to fight. You have no choice. If you know these things, that this is what I am put into this world to do, and you act in that way, then you become free. That is your freedom. Sometimes we say that devotees, we have got this thing called minute independence, isn't it? So people keep asking, what is this minute independence? They want to know very precisely what that minute independence is, so that we can decide what to do and what not to do. So the reality is that there is no independence. Strictly speaking, there is no independence. We feel false ego is dictating to us that we have independence. False ego tells us that we have independence. Krishna says, strictly speaking, there is no independence. What it is that when some talent comes through us, or our material nature is forcing us to act in a particular way in this world, we have to understand that I will go along with the material's nature's influence on me, rather than fighting against the material nature. In other words, in Varnashrama Dharmam, this was a very important point, that vasanas should control your life, because vasanas should get fulfilled in that body. Whatever vasanas we have created should get fulfilled in the body. For example, some vasanas are to live a comfortable life, for which you have to execute and live a particular way of life so that that fulfill that desires as well. So one should not move away from the vasana and think that I will not act according to my vasana, rather I will act according to my decision independently, in which case it will create conflicts inside. Krishna is pointing to her that prakriti tvam niyongshasi. Krishna says prakriti will force you to act in a particular way. You have no right, you have no choice. If you know that, that is your freedom, Krishna is talking about. If you know this and live on that basis, that much freedom you have got. And this is your so-called minute independence. When we talk about independence, we get confused, isn't it? We think that there is somewhere I can manage without Krishna. That's the way we understand this minute independence. When you first think that if there is there any way we can manage things on our own without getting Krishna involved in this? So Bhagavad Gita is telling us, niyongshasi, the word used is niyongshasi. In other words, you have practically no freedom, but the freedom what you have is really to know that you have no freedom. That's your freedom. And then you are free. When you know and accept it completely that I have no freedom to live the way I want, I should live according to Krishna's instructions, that much freedom we have. That's the only freedom Krishna has given us. In other words, if you start fighting against the mind, if you start fighting against material nature, you will not win that battle. That understanding has to be very deep inside. That fighting against material nature is worthless. If you start doing that, Maya will come with tricks, will start playing the tricks. And then eventually you will lose, but it will take a long time to come to this conclusion. At the very, probably very, very end of life, you will see all the great personalities. At the time of death, they came to this conclusion. Big, big people. That they were fighting against material nature. It will not work. Something else will happen. Everyone has to surrender at the end, whether you like it or not. When you are strong and bodily you feel strong and mentally you feel strong and things are happening in this world and you are a big leader, you may think that, oh, I've done this, I've done that. But ultimately, what do you see? What do you see ultimately? Big, big talkers who could talk hours together and who can thumb their hands on the desk to ascertain their views and to put the all opposition down by their power. You can see in all these party conferences what happens. Labour Party, Conservative Party, what they happen goes on there. They are so convinced about their strength and about their success and all that. Eventually, when they leave all politics, at the old age, 80, 90, comes completely helpless. I'm told that, especially these two new illnesses, what is it, this Alzheimer's and dementia, they don't even remember that they were Prime Minister. There's a personality today living in this country that they don't even remember she was Prime Minister of this country. When her daughter came to see her, she couldn't recognize her. This is what it is. 10 years ago, 20 years ago, she was telling the whole world Iron Lady and this, that and the other. What Iron Lady? So eventually, material nature, you have to surrender. You have no choice. There is no freedom in all these things. What freedom you have is to recognize this, that this is the reality, that's your freedom. That much freedom you have. There's no other freedom. And you can't even remember what you have done in the past. This is how controlled we are. Especially these new illnesses, we call this by the new names. It may have been existing in the past also, because so long as false ego is there, these illnesses also will be there. But the power of those illnesses, you can see. Material nature give you an illness like this and you can't even remember your own identity. Right? When you meet such people like that, I'm talking about people who got these illnesses, sometimes you see them. They were standing right in front of the house. We have one personality like that in Lechmohit. She's standing there and asking, where am I now? She's standing right in front of her house. And whoever passes through, she asks this question, where am I standing now? She says, she's standing in her house. She says, where am I now? So this can happen to anybody, isn't it? It can happen to anybody. Therefore, when the consciousness is right, when the consciousness is good, it is better to take to Krishna consciousness rather than thinking that it may happen some other time. Some other time what will happen? Who knows? Which way the body will go? Which way the mind will go? Who knows about it? There is no guarantee for anything. Important thing is Krishna has given us Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and there is the truth in that. And if we accept that truth, the life is going the right way. Otherwise, it can end up in disaster. That kartrutva bhoktrutvam goes away. Krishna says here, nobody is a karta, nobody is a bhokta. That and if he understands this, Krishna says that there is no need to find even fault with other people. For example, in vyavaharam, in dealings, nobody is responsible for anything. If with this understanding is good, nobody is responsible for anything. Why? Krishna is engaging them in that way. What can you do? Bhagavadam says like this, Ishasvahi vashe logo yesha dharumai yatha. That is the words in the Bhagavadam. Two or three times this is repeated. Ishasvahi vashe loga. Logam, or this material nature and the whole creation, is completely under Krishna's control. Yosha dharumayi yatha. Just like a wooden puppet is dancing, the whole world is dancing according to Krishna's tune. There is no freedom anywhere. In ignorance and in the false ego, we develop all this individuality and freedom what we are talking about. But when you come to the platform of Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna is saying, Ishasyahi vashoye loko yosha dharumayi yatha. And often this is repeated in the in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Nobody has any independence, kartratvam or bhoktratvam, independence to act or independence to enjoy. Only thing is, when you see that in this world with different people, what you have to accept is that Krishna has created them in that way. And if you understand that people are acting in different ways because Krishna is forcing them to act like that, then we don't have to feel too critical about them either. That also, you won't think that they are responsible, nor will you think that we are also responsible for our own destiny. However, the world works along with that, you have the flow, the things will happen in this world, whatever the flow that has been set in. If you know that, Krishna says, that is happiness. That is happiness. There is a reason why we said that completely foolish people and jnanis, realized souls, they will always be happy. We were discussing this yesterday also, isn't it? Because foolish people, they never think about anything. Immediately, according to their particular happiness, distress that comes and goes, they will react to that. Similarly, jnanis also, they also don't know any difficulties. One person is very simple and another person is fully realized. So for both of them, it doesn't bother them. And the foolish people, what will they do? They will simply try to enjoy a little bit whatever they can get in this world, isn't it? They'll play a little bit here and try to find a little happiness in this or that, and they'll pass their life in this world. That you can see among the young people many times. They're just happy with a football match and a fighting after that, and then getting bruised here and there, go to A&D, get it all fixed up, go and sleep happily. Next day go to work again. Many young people do that, isn't it? So this kind of happiness is a symptom of that foolishness in that person. Can't think anything more than that. Just satisfy with a little sense enjoyment and little fighting to get rid of all the passion inside, and a little scratch on the body, their own mind, and come and then get a little bit intoxicated and go to sleep. The life is finished like that. So Krishna is saying here that the if you don't, because they don't think very much, that's their good quality. Only if you don't think, you can go through in this way. Jnanis, they think too much. Then they thought and come to the final conclusion that there is only happiness in the soul. So they are also not affected. The foolish man who doesn't think is also not affected. It is those in between who thinks now and then and gets involved in life in that way, he gets affected. Therefore we say there's two words, chinda and chitta. Chitta means the fire where the body is burned. So chinta and chitta, there is only one letter inserted into chinta that goes in. Otherwise it's meant for chitta. Chitta means the funeral pyre, that's called chinta. Chinta means the thought. The words are very much the same, only in the word letter na is introduced in between, so that makes the things keep going all the time. So kartrutva bhoktrutvam goes away, and the one person who has realized this, that he will not take any more responsibility of kartratvam and bhoktratvam. And Krishna is saying here, all these things, what I have spoken, is as far as the fate of the jiva is concerned, it is a relative thing. It is not absolute. And it is not a... here is something important. Paramarthikam, these are the different types of reality Krishna talks about. Paramarthikam means absolute reality. Paramarthika means absolute reality. Soul is an absolute reality, isn't it? Soul is an absolute reality. Then we have got, truth is given in different levels. We have to understand the truth in different levels. Absolute reality is the soul, which is the absolute reality. Then apparent reality means in our transactions in this world, it is apparent reality. It's not absolute, isn't it? For example, if I borrow from someone, say £10, and I'll tell him that I'll give it back to you tomorrow, it's an apparent reality. It's a vyavaharam, the transaction there. Why it's apparent? Because it's subjected to he being alive tomorrow, me being alive tomorrow and me having 10 pounds to return it to him, subjected to so many other conditions. Therefore, it's called apparent reality or vyavaharigam. In the Shastram, it is referred to as vyavaharigam. So, vyavaharam, the truth, is not absolute. It is vyavahara satyam, they call it. The truth in the transactional world, or transactional truth, it is called. It's not absolute truth. So, Krishna says here that this thing called, on one hand, this, because this is an important point, on one hand we say that there is no birth, there is no death, Krishna said here. And we are the same people who talk about next life and next death and all that things. So Krishna is saying, this next life and punarjanmam, as it is referred to, the death, the next birth, changing body, this is all in the vyavaharam level. It is not on the absolute level. That we must recognize. Because when we are preaching, we say to people that punarjanmam, we say, do you believe in that? That person says, I don't believe in this, he says, next birth. Then he talks about it and he understands the transmigration of the soul. Then he understands, yes, I can understand now what you are saying, that there is another body, we have to leave this body. Apparently in America is the place where they do a lot of these statistics, isn't it? Constantly they keep on going to people asking them, do you believe in God? And then thousands of people say we believe, and another many thousands say we don't believe. And then they make the decision, God does exist or does not exist. This is how the whole world is going on in this. And it's like the before the election they do, isn't it? The same thing. They Tory should come to power 48%, Labour 43%, so leading by 5%. So the result they predict on the basis. Similarly, they come to spiritual life also do the same thing. So recently, there was a poll in America where they wanted to find out that people do believe in rebirth or not. So there were a lot of people who says they believe in rebirth. So immediately they said, the Hindu population has increased in America. Because this is the way they argue about things. But these people have not become, they have been told about rebirth, and some logic in their mind, they have made some calculations based on this, and they came to the conclusion rebirth looks a logical thing to them. So they agreed, and when they signed the poll sheet, they mentioned there they believe in it. So when the results came out, based on that, they started interpreting how many Christians, how many Muslims, how many Hindus, and this is how they come to all this. And it comes to the television, newspapers, everything, they print it out. What Krishna is saying here is, this thing called rebirth is only on a vyavaharatalam. On a vyavahariya talam, or in the transaction world, it is not an absolute thing. Absolute thing is what Krishna has spoken in the beginning of the soul. Soul is not even taking birth. Soul is not even dying. Soul is not going through any of the changes. All this is happening on a transactional world, vyavahariya level, that the change is happening to the body, and therefore you have to accept, Krishna said in the beginning, that when you leave the body, you will have to accept tada dehandara prapti, you will have to accept another deham, material body you will have to accept. But they are not one who has self-realized, for him punarjanmam doesn't exist, rebirth doesn't exist. He will not be telling anyone, oh, you know, Prabhu, if you keep on doing this, you'll have to accept another body. He won't threaten anybody like that. But because he already knows that that is only as far as the body is concerned, on a transaction level. So everything that is related to body, everything related to the mind, they are all in the vyavaharatalam. Vyavahara, it is the actual word is vyavaharam. Vyavaharam means that is the transactions what we do in this world through the body and bodily level, bodily identity. So often what happens to us is we mix this up with spiritual life. Spiritual life is absolute. The soul is pure. And Krishna said soul is eternal. Soul is permanent. And that you should not fix with these temporary dealings of this world, transactions of this world. If you do that, you will get mixed up everything. We have to separate these two things very distinctly within ourselves. That on vyavaharadalam, I am doing so many things in this world. Krishna says, Arjuna, your fighting is also on that level. It's not on the absolute level. You see the point, Krishna's point. Krishna is saying your so-called fighting and our so-called fighting in this world, with to live in this world, is all on this level, on the vyavaharadalam. Only on the vyavaharadalam it will work. not only absolute platform. Absolute platform is what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita and also in the Ekadasha Skanda, where Krishna says so many things Krishna says there. And when you hear all that thing, you start thinking, how can this be true? Because Krishna is saying here, Shoga moho sukho dukkham deha batischa maya. It's all related to maya and your body. Shoga moham sukham dukkham deha batischa maya. Sopno samsaradir nadu vastavi. They are not vastavam. Vastavam means absolute. Vastavam means absolute. Shoga moho sukho dukkham deha batischa maya. Sopno yad atmana khyadir. Don't impose these things on your soul, Krishna says. Because if you impose them on the soul, you have lost it. You have completely lost it. Because they are only on a transactional world, vyavaharam level, with relationship with the body and the mind. So that's why Krishna is saying, sopno yad atmana khyadi. In sopnam, in dream state, how it experiencing, exactly the same way you are experiencing it now. Samsradir nadu vastavi. They are not the reality. Reality is not. That's why when we talk about Ekadasha Skandam and Bhagavad Gita, some of the things, people find it very, very difficult to take it on board. So most of the people will say, this is something but is not practical. They will say, they'll get up and go away from there. This is not for them. Practical means everything should be through the body. Only then it's practical, as far as they are concerned. So Krishna, when he says about that, Yadidam manasovaja chakshubhyam sharvanadibi nashwaram grihyamanamja vidhi maya manomayam. Every verse in the Ekadasha Skandam, when Krishna is talking to Uddhava, he stresses these things. The knowledge is this, Krishna says. Soul has nothing to do with anything. Nashwaram grihyamanamja vidhi maya manomayam. Mayamayam manomayam is this world. It has no reality. And because the world is not real, and it is also a product of maya, all your so-called body is maya, mind is maya, all your activities are also maya. They are also not free from that. They are all in the same category. Krishna puts them in the same category. So the important thing to remember here is that every time when we discuss Bhagavad Gita, we must segregate ourselves, the body, mind, everything from this, and come to the spiritual platform, what Krishna is talking about. Otherwise, we can get easily misled. Generally, we are in the bodily concept of life. We are always in the body, isn't it? So every time something is spoken from Bhagavad Gita, immediately we bring it to our bodily level and start analyzing this. So here in Bhagavad Gita, this can be a bit of a problem for people if you don't understand the different levels of truth. Because Krishna says, only few verses before, Krishna says, you don't die, you are eternal, you are this. Then Krishna is saying about rebirth and punarjanmam and changing the body and everything. So naturally, there is no importance to changing body when you are in the platform of the soul. That is the most important thing to remember. Soul has no change. And this thing called rebirth, death and rebirth, is nothing but is a journey of the subtle body. Isn't it? Subtle body's journey is called rebirth. It's nothing but subtle body's journey. Isn't it? It is not the journey of the soul. It is not the journey. Soul is not moving anywhere. Soul is permanently existing all the time. But we say, sometimes also we say, when we leave the body, how does he move to the next body? We ask the question. We are very enthusiastic to find out how you change the body, isn't it? So Krishna is pointing out that very well, you have got all these good questions, but try to understand, Krishna says, that this journey from one body to another body, we say that the subtle body carries the soul from this body to another body. You may have heard this often, discussed this. Now, once you adopt that principle, then there will be a problem. Because actually what's happening is, it's not physically carrying anything. Soul is never carried anywhere. Soul is present all the time. It's a very, very thin line of difference between the subtle things and the gross things. Soul is extremely subtle. He is present everywhere. The soul is present. It is the sushma shariram, or the subtle body, that is changing. That is moving from one body to another. So this sushma shariram, what is called the subtle body, is called a jiva. It's called jiva. Sushma shariram gets some life from the soul. soul gives some life to Sushma Shariram or the subtle body, and therefore it is called a jiva. And when the subtle body is completely finished, that is called liberation. That is called liberation. When the subtle body is completely finished, that is called liberation. With the subtle body, jiva also dies. Jiva doesn't exist anymore after that, because by then it has come to the platform of the soul. When it has separated from Atma, it has become a jiva. And when it has become a jiva, what does that mean? It means it is subjected to all the changes and asat, as it is referred to, and all the six kinds of changes, everything happens to it in the jiva platform. But once it loses its subtle body, the subtlety or Sushma Shariram goes away, dissolves itself. That's what happens. Sushma Shariram dissolves. And when Sushma Shariram dissolves itself, the jivatvam goes away, or the existence as a jiva also goes away for the soul, and it is back in its original position as the soul. Then you can see this. Where is the proof if you ask for that? This jiva is working when you are sleeping in the dream state, isn't it? It is still working in the dream state. Jiva experiences that. That without the help of the gross body, it is able to function in the dream state. It is doing so many transactions like we do in the vacant state. In the vacant state, how we do transactions with the material gross body and the mind together. Combined, we do the transactions, isn't it? But in the dream state, without the help of the gross body, it is able to do all the transactions. Without the help of the gross body, it's able to do that. And that is the proof that even when the body is dead, that subtle body can work on its own. That's the proof for that. If anybody asks you, where is the proof for subtle body? Only you have to tell them about the dream state. In the dream state, without the help of the gross body, the mind, which is a subtle body, is able to conduct the business, isn't it? It's doing all kinds of things, what we do in the vacant state. Like in the vacant state, whatever we do, all these things we are experiencing in the dream state also, but without the gross body. And that is the proof that the subtle body is independent. Subtle body is independent. Subtle body is so independent that when we leave this gross body, it's capable of going and entering into another gross body without the help of this gross body. When we identify with the gross body, we are thinking that how can the subtle body do on things on its own? Because we are identification of the gross body is strong. But once you recognize this fact, right now here, in the dream state, without the help of this gross body, subtle body is able to conduct its own business. If it is like that, cannot the subtle body, when it leaves the gross body, moves away to another body? This is a question the Vedantis will ask. So, in the modern science, because they don't take into account Swapnam stage and Sushupti stage, all their research is centered around the Jagrat state, vacant state. And therefore, they will never come to any conclusions. From the Vedic understanding is that, you have to, as far as the individual is concerned, the soul is concerned, unless you take into account all three states of existence, Jagrat, Swapnam and Sushupti, you are not understanding him properly. You are not studying him properly. That is a very important point. That just because the body is dead does not mean the psychic energy inside is finished. The psychic energy can carry on. And it has to execute whatever vasanas inside somewhere. The subtle body inside has got psychic energy, and the vasanas also inside. And it has to get that executed somewhere. And therefore, it has to go and find another body. There is no choice. There is no option there at that point. And that is that journey of the subtle body from this gross body to another body is what Krishna talks about in the next verse. So, we'll go through that verse. 22. Verse 22. Vasam si jirnani yatha vihaya navani grihnati naroparani tatha sharirani vihaya jirna anyani samyati navani dehi Vasamsi jirnani yatha vihaya. Navani grihnati naroparani. Tatha sharirani vihaya jirna. Anyadi samyati navani dehi. Translation. As a person puts on new garments, giving up old ones, similarly the soul accepts new material bodies, giving up the old and useless ones. Giving up the old and useless ones. Dehi. Dehi means, probably you can see the translation, the embodied. Isn't it? The embodied. So, this verse is very famous, as you know. It's a very famous verse. But we have not put enough thought into that verse. That's what our problem is. We just think, oh, I've changed my clothes. I have to put on new clothes. Similarly, I change this body, take on another body. It is not that simple as we understand. Unless we understand the process, how it is happening. When Krishna spoke to Arjuna, Krishna gave this example. And because Krishna was speaking, Arjuna could understand. It also depends on who is speaking, isn't it? Krishna, if he wants something, somebody to understand, Krishna has to think, let him understand what I am saying. That's it, he has understood that. That's the beauty with Krishna. So when Krishna, whenever he has spoken, Bhagavad Gita and Ekadasham, Ekadashaskandam also, Krishna wanted Arjuna, you should understand so much what I have said, and Arjuna will understand that much. Same thing with Uddhava also. Krishna wanted Uddhava, you should understand so much. Therefore, Uddhava understood that much. What Uddhava has to understand. Similarly, many devotees in the past, when they wrote about Bhagavad Gita or Ekadasha Skandam also, they said to Krishna that one time when you spoke these things to your devotees, Arjuna and Uddhava, you wanted them to understand something from that, isn't it? Therefore, they understood that much, how much you wanted them to understand. So, even understanding how much we should understand is in Krishna's hands. That is not even in our hands. How much what Krishna has spoken, how much we should realize it. Understanding means realization, not intellectual level. Intellectual understanding has no value because it has not affected you. Whereas the spiritual understanding is realization. So how much Uddhava should get realized, Krishna has decided already. And that you can see in the Uddhavadesham, in Krishna's instance Uddhava. So similarly, Arjuna also, this verse was enough, Arjuna could understand. Because Krishna has decided, Arjuna should understand what is happening. So in that understanding, Krishna is saying to Arjuna, Vasamsi jirnai yatha vihaya, navani grihnadi naroparani. Tatha sharirani vihaya jirna anyadi samyati navani dehi. Prior to this, Krishna mentioned that this change of body is on a transactional level. So that is important to remember. It is not happening on an absolute platform. It is happening on a vyavaharam, vyavaharic level. In vyavahara level, Krishna is saying the soul has to soul has to move in such a way that the subtle body has to leave this body at a particular time. It has to leave the body. Why? According to the arrangement of the material nature, the body has already executed its prarabdham here, in this body. It has finished with its prarabdham here. When the prarabdham is over, the subtle body is now mature to develop the next set of prarabdha karma. Prarabdha karma has to, for which this body is not suitable anymore. The aging of the body. Body is not suitable anymore. Because it's not suitable, it has to find a new instrument or new tool to execute its further work. So you can see one thing, it is a subtle body that is making all the decisions on your behalf, not you. That subtle body, what is in there, it is driving you from body to another body. It is creating your destiny. It is, in other words, all your happiness and distress, everything is centered around this subtle body. So how important that subtle body is. That is the importance of the subtle body. We'll discuss this tomorrow. All glory to Srila Prabhupada. Jai.